Welcome back to Talkin' Baseball. Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky in together today. And that music right there only leads us to Carey Crowley. Carey, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well today, Bill. How are you?
We're both doing great. Marty along with me today. And, of course, yesterday, what an unusual way to start a game. It was supposed to start Johnny Cueto, Garrett Richards in the bullpen warming up. Both teams on first and third base stretching. And all of a sudden, Dave Greschner comes out and talks to the umpires, and all we see on television is Gabe Kapler taking his mask off and saying, this game is canceled. Tell us your thoughts from that point, and if you know anything moving forward today.
Yeah, kind of a surreal scene last night. Much like you guys, I was watching on television. We're not traveling this year, so the beat is back at home. And I flipped on and got all set to listen to Dwayne and Mike, and they were seemingly just as alarmed as everyone else because they're broadcasting back at Oracle Park. So information was not readily available to everyone. But I think we all had a pretty good guess at what was going on because you don't just cancel a game that close to first pitch without something drastic taking place. And, of course, with the air quality being what it was in California, that was some people's first thought. But it was fine in San Diego to play. And so your next thought, okay, it's probably a positive test. And sure enough, 20 minutes later, we find out that indeed it is a positive test within the Giants organization. We don't know much more than that. We're waiting for Farhan Zaidi to address us today as a beat and provide us an update. But I really think that realistically, the soonest the Giants could get back on the field, Bill and Marty, is now Tuesday and potentially not even until Wednesday. And that's if this is just an isolated test.
Boy, Carey, it's nice to talk with you. Of course, I love the music, listening to our music coming in. And, of course, you do a great job with that Bay Area News Group. But what does this do to the ball club? I was thinking about it. You know, you missed three games here over the weekend. Probably going to miss tomorrow. They would have to make them up somewhere down the road. What if they don't matter? Maybe the Padres will already have clinched second, and maybe the Giants have already clinched a wild card berth. But what can happen down the road with these games?
Well, I'm thinking that based on their mutual schedules, there's a mutual off day on Thursday. That would be when the Giants are supposed to be coming back to the Bay Area from Seattle. And that's actually when the Padres are flying up to Seattle to start a weekend series there at T-Mobile Park. So if I was in the position of Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred, I'd actually schedule a doubleheader for this Thursday if they can do it, if the Giants are in the clear from a testing standpoint, and do it up in Seattle, have Giants-Padres for 2 7-inning games up in the Pacific Northwest, just so you're not smushing six games into that final three-game series at Oracle Park over the final weekend of the season. Because I really think that even if the Padres have second place locked up, the Giants are still going to be playing for something with that seventh or eighth seed. And you don't want to be in a position where you're playing 14 innings, 14 innings, and 14 innings Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And that just seems way too chaotic to me.
Hey, Carey, both these ball teams were playing so well moving into Friday. I want to kind of touch base a little bit about that game. Cahill, again, got roughed up in that first inning. Didn't seem like he was back to normal like we saw him a few starts ago. But Smiley sure opened our eyes, throwing in the mid-90s. He had great location. What did you feel about him? And that's a possibility of maybe back in the rotation, wouldn't you think?
Oh, no question. And especially with the way the schedule is now going to shape up, Bill, I think that Drew Smiley and potentially Jeff Samardzija are going to be called on to make starts if Samardzija comes back from the injured list. So Smiley pitching well, striking out 8 of the 15 hitters he faced, couldn't have come at a better time for the Giants because they're going to need all hands on deck to complete this season. They're going to need Trevor Cahill and Tyler Anderson now to go out there and make starts. Logan Webb's going to be staying in that rotation because if you're going to need 7 starting pitchers over a 5-day span, the Giants are actually set up somewhat well to navigate that situation. And so I don't think that starting pitching is going to be the biggest concern moving forward for the Giants, assuming that it was the starting pitcher who's tested positive and assuming that the starting rotation isn't wiped out by the coronavirus. Because at this point, we're kind of still in the dark and left to make assumptions. But I do think that the Giants staff is set up in a way that this isn't going to be, you know, the blow that ends their season. I do think that this is a team that has enough pitching depth to weather a storm like this. And now it'll be interesting to see how the schedule shakes out and exactly how Farhan and Gabe go about plotting the pitching staff moving forward.
Well, they're going to need about 30 relievers. They better get 6 innings out of the starters, because if you're playing back-to-back, And that relief corps, Kerry, in my opinion, they're tired. There's no question.
Oh, yeah.
And Coonrod has not grabbed it, really. And you got Trevor Gott to deal with. And Rogers, you know, looks like a closer now. To me, the bullpen is going to be the one that's going to bear the burden of this thing if the starters don't get it done. But let's move on to another subject, and Bill and I have chatted about it, and that is the emotional release of Pablo Sandoval this week. And there's so many Pablo moments and so many things about Pablo and coming up as a young man. And just to get your thoughts about what it meant to the ball club and being part of that and Pablo no longer a San Francisco Giant.
You know, Marty, it's interesting because when Hunter Pence was let go at the end of the 2018 season and was kind of toward the end of his career at that point, everyone thought, okay, you know, that's the end. And there were so many Giants fans who were emotional about the end of Hunter Pence and his tenure in a Giants uniform. And then we saw the same thing a few weeks ago when he was released, and we saw the outpouring of support on social media. And it's interesting, you know, growing up in San Francisco, I've had so many friends who are lifelong Giants fans, so many family members who are lifelong Giants fans, and all of their favorite players were Pablo. I mean, everyone I know worshipped Pablo. They loved him. They loved what he meant to the city. They loved his positive attitude. They thought that, you know, the second tenure with the Giants couldn't have gone any better because of the way that, you know, his exit was the first time. People thought that he'd never come back and resurrect his career in San Francisco when he was let go by the Boston Red Sox in 2017. But he did that. He beat the odds. And, you know, Pablo was such an energetic guy. And I think that his style of play really resonated. People loved that he would chase pitches out of the strike zone and do damage on them. People loved that he would blow huge wads of bubble gum in the dugout. He was just kind of more of a relatable star in the way that Tim Lincecum being so short was relatable to people. I think that Pablo was just such a joy to watch for Giants fans. And so I know that Hunter Pence has kind of stolen some of the headlines, but you know, to the people that I know, Pablo Sandoval meant much more because he did it over such a long period of time in the Giants organization. Three rings. You can't argue with that.
Kerry Crowley joining Marty, Larry, Bill Lasky this afternoon. Let's talk about the guy that's filling his shoes right now, Kerry, and that's Justin Smoke, a switch hitter who's been around a couple teams. Of course, one of the better teams he played on recently was Toronto, where he really destroyed the ball, had a little problems with Milwaukee this year, but now he's part of the San Francisco Giants. Tell us his role moving forward.
You know, it's really interesting, Bill, to see the way that this roster is now constructed, because you go up and down and you think, okay, well, you've got Crawford, Longoria, Belt in the infield. They're solidifying it there. And then Dubon and Yastrzemski, you want those guys patrolling the outfield every day. But aside from those five players, just about every other position player on this roster profiles better as a designated hitter than they do as a fielder. And so the Giants are kind of stuck because you can't take Wilmer Flores out of the lineup. You can't take Donovan Solano out of the lineup. Austin Slater's an option for you, but when he can't play the outfield because of his elbow injury. So where are they going to get these at-bats for Justin Smoke? That's my big question. You know, one of his big issues at the beginning of the season was just not having enough consistency with the Milwaukee Brewers. He said that, you know, only 115 plate appearances, he didn't really have time for his swing to come around. I don't think he's going to be starting a whole lot of games for the Giants, and so he's probably going to be relatively limited over the rest of the stretch run, and I just don't know what kind of an impact he can have in that role because he is lower down on the depth chart of all those DHs that the Giants have.
Kerry, you said maybe the Giants wouldn't play Tuesday. Well, what leads you to believe that?
Well, just that, you know, most of these layoffs have been 4 days at the least. And so you're talking Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and that's without an isolated test. What they could do is very easily just make up that Tuesday game on Wednesday with a doubleheader against the Mariners. And so I think that that's something that they could, you know, in an ideal world, Marty, they would be playing Tuesday night, but I think that they have to err on the side of caution. And if it means creating a more difficult schedule for the Giants down the stretch, then so be it, because you can't have a situation where all of a sudden another positive test pops up Tuesday right before the game. And then, you know, what do you do in that situation? Are the Giants fitting 10 doubleheaders into the final 7 days of the season? I don't know how they would complete the year if that was the case. So you have to be absolutely sure when this team takes the field that everyone has tested negative multiple times and that everyone is safe to play.
Hey, Kerry, you know, the protocol when somebody gets tested, they isolate themselves in the hotel, and it's 48 or 72 hours like you're talking about. They did it with Miami. They did it with the Oakland A's. They've also done it with other teams that did test positive. Is this what's happening right now with the Giants? They're stuck in their San Diego hotel, and are they being able to come out? Are they going to be able to work out, or do we know yet?
Yeah, as far as I know, Bill, they are stuck quarantining in San Diego at the hotel across the street from the ballpark. We don't know much beyond that just because we haven't spoken with Farhan yet today, but we will get those details. At some point, the Giants have to make someone available. I mean, they didn't have Gabe Kapler, Farhan, or Scott Harris talk with the media in the aftermath of Friday's game, and, you know, we're a few hours into Saturday, and that still hasn't happened. So there's a lot of unanswered questions, and I'm just hoping that they can provide some clarity soon, because I think that the Giants fans would love to know what's going on with this team now that they're really invested in this playoff run.
So what do you think about the wild card race here? And, you know, Bill and I and Woe, we've talked about it on the air and just privately. But, you know, you look at the other teams and their divisions are tough. Their opponents in the other league are tough. Giants are lucky that they kind of got that AL West at the right time and the NL West at the right time. What do you see in this wild card? Who's the big threat here? You see the Marlins, the Phillies, the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Mets? What are you looking at?
You know, Marty, I think the biggest threat to the Giants is all these games they still have to play against the Padres. I think that you can look outside the division and say, okay, the Mets have a good offense. Their pitching staff is in shambles, but the offense is kind of carrying them along. The Marlins are still a threat. The Cardinals are hanging in there despite their tough schedule. I really do think that these games against the Padres are going to dictate whether the Giants end up making the postseason, how they fare in these doubleheaders, because we know that San Diego's offense can score in bunches, and if you do that in a seven-inning game, it's going to be a lot harder for the Giants to come back like they've been so good at all season long. And then you throw in three games against the A's, and I know that Matt Chapman's out. I hate to see that news, but the A's are still a very difficult team, superior from a talent standpoint than the Giants. And so the schedule, I think, is the biggest threat to the Giants. I know what the win percentages say. I know what the playoff chances say, and they've all got the Giants above 50%. I don't know if I'm ready to do that, especially with this layoff, especially with the condensed schedule that they're going to have at the end of the season. I think that this is going to be an uphill battle for the Giants to make the postseason.
You know, Kerry, over the last homestand and probably a little further back than that, the two-out rallies, the two-strike hits, we're seeing these hitters do time and time again. And, of course, Yastrzemski has just been so solid with the two-strike approach. When you're watching this team, is there anybody that you see that could be a flaw when you look at all the different possibilities when they're changing Ruff and Dickerson? It seems like they all have that same mental approach.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because at the beginning of the season, I was thinking, okay, maybe Mauricio Dubon's not quite where we thought he was going to be this year. Maybe Joey Bart isn't quite as developed as I thought, given his spring training and summer camp at bats. But I think you look at the bottom of the order and the at-bat quality from the 7, 8, and 9 slots on any given day aren't going to be what you're going to get from Yastrzemski, Dickerson, Solano, Longoria. But at the same time, I mean, this is a bottom of the order, Bill, that's much improved from what we saw 2017, 2018, 2019. They're taking pitches. Even if they're striking out, they're doing so deep in counts. And I've just been really impressed by their ability to grind down starters this season. You know, early in the year, we didn't quite see that, but it is increasingly clear that all of the Giants players have taken to this coaching staff's philosophy, the organizational philosophy of getting deep in counts and driving pitches you can drive. And it's easier said than done, of course, because that should be the philosophy of every hitting coach. But it just seems like the Giants are really bought in from a 28-man roster standpoint.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting listening to you talk about the team offensively. Dubon is growing on me as a center fielder. He is. But, you know, the first step he takes is an infielder, and Dwayne pointed it out on the air. The first step, he comes in instead of going out. And Bart, defensively, you got to worry a little bit about him and the game calling. You know, if they get in the playoffs, and of course, you know, look, it's a race to the finish. Every game is going to get to be like a playoff game. That defense of the young kids, it worries me a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're not the only one, Marty. I mean, you watch this team, and any ball that's hit into a gap or, you know, any pitch that's tough for Joey Bart to block, I think everyone winces just a little bit because we're still scarred from the early season. I mean, those 3 weeks at the outset of the year were so horrendous defensively that we're still adjusting to the Giants being a little bit improved. I think Mauricio Dubon has made some strides in center field, and granted, there's a long way to go for him, but to me, he's the Kike Hernandez of the Giants. He can play all over the diamond, and I think that next year we're going to see that a lot more than we are this year. The Giants at some point just had to make a decision that guys have got to settle in at their positions to limit the mistakes, and that's why Dubon hasn't played anywhere but center field in a month. It's why you really haven't seen the rotating defense that we saw during the first 2 weeks of the season. The Giants just had to say, okay, this was an experiment. It didn't work. If we want to go further, this is what's going to have to take place. And so they've really dug in on the offensive side. The bullpen has been a lot better, and they've limited some of those mistakes. But you're right, Marty. I mean, any time a ball is hit in the air in the gap, you're thinking, whew, I don't know.
Carey Crowley joining Marty and I on Talking Baseball this afternoon. September 15th, the rosters have to get set for the playoffs. Is that a set date? Are they moving it around because of different things going on with COVID-19? Or is this legit? September 15th, you got to put your roster down and nothing can be changed.
I didn't even know that.
As far as I know, yeah, as far as I know, that is a set date, but there is some there's some wiggle room within that because I asked about Reyes Maranta and his potential addition to the bullpen, and did he have to be added by Tuesday? And we were told by the Giants organization that because he's on the 45-day injured list, he can actually come back at any point beyond September 15th during the regular season and still be eligible for the postseason. So you can't go out and sign a free agent past September 15th. I don't think that you can bring in a prospect who's not in your player pool and all of a sudden have him contribute past September 15th. But guys who are in the player pool, guys who are on the 40-man roster and on the 45-day injured list are eligible. And so Maranta is someone that I think the Giants can realistically get away with adding on maybe for one of those doubleheader games, see how he pitches in one of those, and then move forward from there.
Well, you just want the Maranta experience. That's it, right?
I do. I mean, Marty, the guy
on,
throws
you trademarked
96.
It, didn't you?
the guy throws 96. He's erratic. No one knows where the ball is going. And Sam Coonrod has been a little bit of the Maranta experience this year. But, you know, everyone wants to see him come in and walk the first batter and then strike out the next three. It's got to happen at some point.
All right. Well, we'll see if that happens. You've been to Original Joe's at all? How's the butter cake doing?
Oh, the butter cake is the best. It's still the best dessert in the city, Marty. Pandemic or not, you know, indoor dining or not, the Original Joe's butter cake does not lose any of its luster, and I will stand by that forever.
And the folks, how's everybody doing?
Folks are doing well. You know, it's been a tough week from the air quality perspective, even out in our district, out in the Sunset, and so we haven't gotten out as much. That goes for them and myself, but things will come around. They always do.
What a 2020, but it's a pleasure having you on. I'm glad to talk to you. It's good to hear your voice, and we'll catch up with you next week. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Carey, just wanted to do the same thing. Be safe, be well. Thanks for joining Marty and I this afternoon, and I'm sure you'll keep us posted on Twitter if you hear anything else, and we'll keep you abreast on what we hear, too. But again, Carey, be safe out there, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much to both of you guys. Really appreciate it.
All right, take care, Carey.
Yep, we'll be right back on Talkin' Baseball on KNBR, the sports leader.